biblical definition of humility. And he says, do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others more important than yourself. And I think Barnabas lives this out in spades. He is such an extraordinary character hidden away in the pages of the Word of God. And so our goal this morning is to sort of look at the character of Barnabas as we see it lifted up to us in the pages of the book of Acts. And so as we get ready to do that, let's just pray and ask the Lord to guide our time, because this is a little challenging for me too. I like diving down deep into a few verses, not multiple chapters. But the message, I believe, that the Lord has for us in Barnabas' life will be a blessing to all of us. So join me as we just ask the Lord to help us. Lord God, we want to thank you this morning for your word and the truth that it contains. Not only the theology that is laid down for us line by line and verse by verse, but also for the very characters that you tell that story with. And you lay them out there on the stage for all of us to see. Those that are noble and those that are ignoble. From all of them, we can learn a lesson. And so guide us, we pray this morning as we study the life of Barnabas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Roman numeral 1, or point A, I guess, would be the better way to say that. Oh, my goodness. I'm glad you have notes. A Christ follower serves with humility, and we see that in Barnabas' life, that a Christ follower serves with humility. And in verse 1 of chapter 13 in the book of Acts, we read this. In the church that was at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, also called Niger, Lucius the Cyrenian, Manaen, a close friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them to. And then after they had fasted, prayed, and laid hands on them, they sent them off. And so our first point is simply this, that the church in Antioch sends out missionaries. They send out those individuals who are now going to be the very first ones to go out from a Christian church. So we are approximately April of 48 A.D. So we are about 15 years after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel has grown wildly in the city of Jerusalem. It has resulted in a great persecution, and the saints have been scattered, and they have landed, many of them, in this region of Antioch, which is way up in the north and close to the coast. And there they have grown a great church, so that the Lord says to the saints at Antioch, I want you to commission Barnabas and Saul and send them out. And so the church obeys the leading of the Holy Spirit. They pray for them, and they get ready to send out these missionaries. Barnabas is one of these guys that the Lord has tapped for significant service. And along with him, Saul, whose name becomes Paul, as they begin to minister among the Gentiles who find it easier to say Paul than Saul. An easier name for them to understand. But as they work, the challenges, point number two, begin to get greater. And so they head out. The first place they go is to Cyprus, an island off the coast. And when they get to Cyprus, they begin preaching there. And then it comes down. We're actually going to skip a lot of verses, but I want you to have the storyline clear in your own minds. And so they came to verse 7. They were with the proconsul Sergius Paulus. Now he is an intelligent man, it says. So he's given credit for thinking, and he is thinking. The man summoned Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear God's message. So here's a man with an inquiring mind. He wants to know, what is it that these guys are preaching? He's interested in learning more about this theology that is being presented. But verse 8, Elymas, the sorcerer, this is the meaning of his name, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul away from the faith. You know, these guys are still here today. people simply want to analyze something, you have these naysayers out there saying, don't pay any attention to it, don't look at it, don't think about it, don't consider it, and that's what he was. Well, here in verse 9 is the response from Paul. Then Saul, also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, stared straight at the sorcerer and said, you son of the devil, full of all deceit and all fraud, enemy of all righteousness. Have you not sometimes wanted to use those words? But Paul did. Won't you ever stop perverting the straight paths of the Lord? Now look, the Lord's hand is against you. You are going to be blind and will not see the sun for a time. And suddenly a mist and a darkness fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand, because he could not tell where he was going. And the proconsul, seeing what happened, believed and was astonished about the teaching of the Lord. So one of the things we see, Barnabas and Saul have been commissioned by the church in Antioch and sent out. And there's no denying, there's no missing the point that this is Barnabas as the team leader and Saul as a part of his team that are sent out. But on their very first encounter, Paul distinguishes himself by his bravery and his confidence in defending the truth of the Word of God. And so we begin to see this emerging of how the team is structured. And that's our third point. The leadership of the team begins to change. Drop down now to verse 13. We started out Barnabas and Paul. Now verse 13, Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga and Pamphylia. You know, we're not trying to make a mountain out of a molehill with this, but this is significant. Now this is Luke, who's writing the book of Acts, and Luke is the one who's using this nomenclature, but already Luke is beginning to see Paul emerge as this powerful spokesman and defender of the faith, and Barnabas, who had been commissioned as pretty much man number one in the team, is the guy who is listening or letting Paul lead like that. Got to interrupt myself to do this because I forgot to do it earlier. Thank you. Now, the point that we are taking away from all of that is this, that Barnabas has the opportunity here to be resentful for Paul stealing center stage if Barnabas was wired that kind of a way. But he's not. Paul, the book of Philippians says, do nothing from rivalry and empty conceit, but consider others more important than yourself. And Barnabas begins to demonstrate that in concrete ways as he is ministering with the Apostle Paul. And so the two of them continue on. We want to see more of that as we go forward, but there's another little clue for us in the same verse. It says, verse 13, they set sail from Paphos, came to Perga and Pamphylia. John, however, left them and went back to Jerusalem. And so our fourth point is this, that the team member John abandons the group. Now maybe that seems like strong language to you. Maybe, you know, he just thought it would be a good time to go see his Aunt Gertrude in Jerusalem. But what we're going to learn is that he actually abandons the team at this point. This confrontation on Cyprus, this showdown between this sorcerer has unnerved John Mark, and as the team gets ready to venture into even more controversy, he says, you know, I just remembered my dental appointment back in Jerusalem. I need to go. And so he leaves the team and checks out. We're going to come back to that in a little bit. Let's go on and look at some of the other things that are given to us as clues. They go on as they go into Perga. They are because here in Lystra, the people began to think they must be gods. They're just so amazing. And they called Paul Hermes because he was the main speaker. And then the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, tore their robes when they heard this and rushed into the crowd shouting. So they're both part of this team, but Paul continues to emerge as this strong voice, this influential character. And I think that one of the things that distinguishes Barnabas, and the reason why my heart was compelled to talk about him today, is because he puts flesh on this whole concept of not doing things out of envy or rivalry or competition or clamoring for the spotlight, but instead looking out for the interests of others and being content with what God is doing through the team effort. You know, someone once said to me very early in ministry, there is no end to the things that can be accomplished as long as you don't care who gets the credit. And it has proven to be absolutely true. As long as you don't care, as long as you remove your own ego from the throne, God can do amazing things through a team. And Barnabas shows this in spades. He has Paul as a part of his team, and he emerges as this extraordinary, powerful figure on this mission team, and together they do ministry together. He demonstrates, I think, in concrete ways, what it means to be a Christ follower who's walking with the spirit of humility. Well, we know that the journey that they were on, it started in April 48. It was about a year and a half long. And so after a year and a half of traveling and ministering together, they come back, and that's at the very end of chapter 14. It says in verse 26, from there, that is from Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch. That's where they began. So what started out in chapter 13, verse 1 at Antioch, now ends in chapter 14, verse 26. They sailed back to Antioch, where they had been entrusted to the grace of God for the work that they had now completed. And after they arrived and gathered the church together, they reported everything that God had done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, and they spent a considerable time with the disciples. So they had spent a year and a half on this trip. They came back and made a report to the church, like missionaries still do to this day, as they let the church know what had taken place under their ministry. One of the things that's interesting about watching all of this, so this is what's called Paul's first missionary journey. And so most of your Bibles have maps in the back, and one of those maps has all of the missionary journeys, and you can trace where they went as you look at the line on his first missionary journey. The first journey and the second journey are interrupted by Acts chapter 15, which is now this council in Jerusalem. And it's going to lead us to another point that we want to look at, and that is that humility is not the opposite of courage. It's important for us when we're talking about humility to understand we're not talking about being a doormat. We're not talking about letting people just walk all over you, of being passive and placid and not having an opinion about anything. Walking in humility means denying your ego to look out for the benefits of others. But sometimes it requires great courage as well. And we see courage demonstrated in the life of Barnabas when we look at chapter 15. The first thing gone back to Antioch. 8 months have gone by. And so Paul says to Barnabas, you know, we really need to go visit those churches that we planted. So look down at the end of chapter 15 and at verse 36. And so he says, after some time had passed, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the brothers in every town where we have preached the message of the Lord and see how they're doing. Barnabas wanted to take along John Mark. controversial, difficult time